Starting on page 17. And there's a very famous Mishnah statement which is always made before we say Kaddish. And that is Rabbi Hanania ben Akasha says, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted to merit the Jewish people, the Zakot Israel, to merit the Jewish people. Now there's different ways of explaining this word, Lezakot. Lezakot means, from the word Zechut, and by the way, this class is sponsored by Rhoda Paul, in memory of her father, Shmuel ben Chaya. And the word Lezakot has two meanings. One is merit, Zekui, and the other one, in the Rav Dessler says, Lezakot comes from the word to purify. Can either be to merit the Jewish people or to purify the Jewish people. Hashem wanted to purify the Jewish people. We call talk about Shemen Zayit Zach, pure olive oil. So Zach, Zakut. That's Rav Dessler, beautiful idea. God wants to purify the Jewish people. He gave us lots of mitzvot. And that's why he gave us lots of Torah, lots of mitzvot. And that's a very important idea. The idea that Hashem gave us the mitzvot in order to give us merits and also to purify us. There's two aspects to the mitzvot. When a person does a mitzvah, they get the reward. So we get the merits for doing the mitzvah. But also when a person does a mitzvah, they're purifying their own body and their own soul. So there were 613 mitzvot given to the Jewish people. How do we know? Because it says, we say when we see the Torah, Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah tziva lanu Moshe. Torah gematria. The word Torah, gematria, 611. 611 mitzvot. Torah, Gematria 611, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. The Torah was given to us by Moshe. Moshe gave us 611. And two we heard directly from Hashem. First two mitzvot of the Ten Commandments. So altogether, the rabbis learn out, we get 613 mitzvot. Hashem gave us 613 mitzvot. How many negative mitzvot? Very easy. How many days in the year? 365. Very easy. Very simple to remember. 365 days in the year. 365 negative mitzvot. And 248 positive mitzvot. 248 positive mitzvot. 630 mitzvot. Most of these mitzvot do not apply unless you live in Israel and there's a Beit HaMikdash. Most of the mitzvot do not apply to non-Kohanim. A lot of mitzvot apply only to Kohanim. So today maybe there's 170 mitzvot, I think Chavetz Chaim brings down, which apply to us daily. 170. Of which only 70 or so are positive. Most of them are negative. So basically, a person can fulfill 365 mitzvot just by going to sleep. All the negative mitzvot. Depends who they sleep with, but that's another issue. But most people can just by sitting down over here and just by keeping quiet, you're getting credit for 365 negative mitzvot. I'm not robbing the bank, I'm not speaking Lashon Hara, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I'm just sitting over here quietly, closing my eyes.
And if you say Shema, then...
If you say Shema, you're getting extra mitzvot.
I thought a negative mitzvot was a bad mitzvot. Negative is not.
Negatives, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it. So just by sitting down, I'm not doing anything.
No, if you don't do them, you get the credit for it.
So a person has to think, yeah, I'm fulfilling 365 mitzvot just by sitting down.
Wow. It's like when your blood test comes back negative.
So just sit and say
negative. Someone, I asked a conversation, someone, I'm trying to persuade him to keep Shabbat. He says, Rabbi, it's very hard to keep Shabbat. He says, it's very easy. You just go to sleep. By default, you're keeping Shabbat.
Just wake up.
So, oh, wow, that's great. I'll go to sleep. Okay, that's good. That's the first step, is go to sleep.
Then they read this book.
So, we have to realize that there's tremendous opportunities here. Most people keep mitzvot by default. People don't really realize. People say it's hard to be a Jew. No, it's very easy to be a Jew. Why? Most of the mitzvot you keep by default. You just don't do them. Don't do the negatives. Don't break the negatives. The positives are much harder. Positives are you have to actually do an action. But there's only 248. There's less positives than negatives. So default is by keeping most mitzvot. 365 mitzvot most people do just by not talking, which by not doing anything. The positives are hard. You have to actually go and do something. But some of these mitzvot are in our minds. And that's what we're going to talk about. The mitzvot in the mind, which is so easy to do. Because you don't really have to do anything. You just have to think. Not so easy sometimes to think. It's a problem today. People don't think. They just watch TV all day. They don't think. So a person has to exert their minds to think. That was Rav Vadi Yosef. When he learned something, he would memorize it. Not just learn, he would memorize it. That's something which we have to teach our children at an early age, because it's harder the more older a person is to memorize things. But it's very important to move one's brain. It's real, stops Alzheimer's. So it's going to keep memorizing and thinking and figuring things out using the brain. Okay, so 613 mitzvot. We're moving on to the next page. The Rambam sets forth in the 8th and 9th principles of faith. There are 13 principles of faith, which we say at the back, at the end of the Siddur, at the end of Shacharit every day. I believe with perfect faith in these 13 principles the Rambam wrote down. So number 8, number 9. Let's see number 8, number 9. I believe complete faith. The entire Torah we have now in our hands is the same one that was given to Moshe, our teacher. Our Torah was not changed, despite what the Bible critics say, or other movements may say. We believe with perfect faith that our Torah is the Torah given to Moshe. Nothing has changed. And the truth is, if you think about it, over 3,000 odd years, you compare different seven Torahs, Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, there's only one difference between all the Torahs. And that's one word, there's one letter difference in all the Torahs. Between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim, there's only one discrepancy. And that is the letter in Patsua Daka, in Parsha Ki Tetze, the end of Devarim. Sfaradim we write with a hey, and Ashkenaz write with an aleph. I'm just generalizing. It sounds the same and it means the same, so there's no real difference. It's just one letter difference. So what is the halakha? Do you change it or not? The answer is we don't change it. Why not? We don't know which one's right. Could be that's the right one. But it has no real difference, and they're kosher for both Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. There's no difference. But that's the only difference in 3,000 years of history. It's amazing. One difference, the difference in the Sefer Torah is one letter. So we believe in complete faith. This is the same Torah we have in our hands. It's the same one given to Moshe. And the laws of Sefer Torah are so strict that one mistake, take out a new Torah. Torah's pasul. So that's the reason why it's so strict, is because this is the same Torah as was given to my Moshe. Once we start chopping and changing, it's not the same Torah anymore. Number two, we believe with complete faith. This Torah will not be exchanged. There will not be another Torah from the Creator. So the Christians say, we have a Brit Chadasha, a new covenant. Sorry, there's no new covenant. There's only one covenant. By the way, the Prophet Yirmiyahu does talk about a new covenant, but it's totally misinterpreted. Chapter 53, I think it is. And he says, new covenant will be written in our hearts. It's a new covenant in the hearts, which means that we won't have to learn anymore about Judaism. It will be in our hearts. And the person will know the whole Torah. It will be so ingrained in us. That's the new covenant. New covenant is something which you won't need to teach. It's so embedded in the person. It will be part of their DNA. That's the new covenant. Not a new book. We're not going to have a new book. There's no new books. Our Torah is the only Torah, and there's no other Torah. Even when the Mashiach comes, the Torah will not change. Okay, so what is the function of the mitzvot? Beautiful. This is a beautiful section over here. Yes. There's a thing called the Aleppo Codex. It's not even a Torah, but it's a book of Tanakh, I think it is. And it was in Aleppo in Syria, and it goes back over 1,000 years.
Do they still have it, though?
Yeah. Plus, then they found books of the Torah in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Right. If you go to the Israel Museum, there's a whole section over there, Dead Sea Scrolls. You find a whole book of Yeshayahu. You find a whole book of Tehillim. The only difference is that Book of Tehillim over there, they had extra Tehillim. So we have 150, they had, I think, 155, 156. So you see that it's exactly the same. Exactly the same. Book of Yeshayahu is exactly the same.
So there's no difference.
There's no difference at all.
What we have now.
Exactly no difference. They found a tefillin. Same. The only difference is it was tiny. You need to look under a microscope. It was really tiny. They would wear it all day long. The tefillin those days, they wear all day long. The workers would wear tefillin. We don't do that today because a person's mind is all over the place. They were holy people. They're holy people. So this is a very important principle over here on page 18. What is the function of the mitzvah? It is the mission, the highest goal of every Jew. What is our mission? It is to get close to Hashem. We are trying to get close to Hashem. And how do we get close to Hashem? By purifying ourselves. We purify ourselves, we sanctify ourselves, to enable us to climb this ladder close to Hashem. We want to climb the ladder. The ladder of Yaakov Avinu, which we're going to read about in a few weeks' time. The ladder of getting close up to Hashem. We have to get close to Hashem. That's the reason the Ben Ish Chai says we go forward, we go back three steps, we go forward three steps. Going forward three steps is going into the presence of the King. You have to get close to Hashem. Person prays, that's the highest level you can get to, the get close to Hashem. So we want to get close to Hashem. Now how do we get close to Hashem? So the Torah gave us a system. Everything requires a system. There's a system for making money, there's a system for greatness, a system for spirituality. The Torah provides a system for spirituality. Not everybody can be a spiritual genius like Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was a spiritual genius. Intrinsically, he knew how to be spiritual. He knew how to climb this ladder to God without any mitzvot. He just knew how to do it. He just got this learning over time. But not everyone is a spiritual genius that can do things without the Torah. So the Torah is given to the masses to give a system to everyone to achieve the levels of Avraham Avinu without being Avraham Avinu. You can be Avraham Avinu without being Avraham Avinu. Because now we have a system. It's like a person wants to work out. So there's a system to work out to be able to get strong. So too, there's a system for spiritual greatness, to achieve closeness to God. So this system is called the mitzvot. So there are positive mitzvot and negative mitzvot. There's two classes of mitzvot that have two different functions. This is very important. If you have the book, you can underline it. The positive mitzvot enable us to build a spiritual superstructure of good deeds that enables us to grow and to attain the goal of subjugating the body to the soul. That's our mission, is to make the body subservient to the soul. The soul is the boss. The Yetzirah Tov, which is the soul, the good inclination, will be the boss, and the body will listen to the soul. So the body says, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. The soul says, I need to go to Minyan. Come with me. And the body listens to the soul. The soul says, I'm busy right now, I can't go to Shir. The soul says, come to Shir with me. And the body listens to the soul. That's the mission, is to make the soul the boss of the body. That's the mission. And by doing so, a person becomes spiritual, because the soul now is in control. Yes.
But the word, it always bothers me when a book has G-O-D. Shouldn't it be G-D, even in a printed?
No.
What's your opinion?
No, my opinion is it's good. Because sometimes you've got to write God's name. This is not even, even G-O-D is a big debate if it's holy or not. Because it's in English, it's not in Hebrew. Only you'd care. There's only seven letters, names of God, which cannot be erased from the Torah. Seven names of God, this is not one of them. So this again is lower level holiness. It's not higher level holiness, it's lower level holiness. And it's a rabbinical law not to erase it, not a Torah law. So therefore you can be lenient. Sometimes you can be lenient and write God's name. This is... Pardon? Okay. So G-O-D is English, it's not Hebrew, it's not holy from the Torah. It's holy from the rabbis, a position to erase it, it's not good to erase it. But it's good to write down, otherwise people will misunderstand. People don't know what G-D is. A lot of people don't know. What is G-D? And you know what God, they believe in G-D. Jews believe in G-D. Who is G-D?
If you're writing it on a piece of paper, but eventually
the paper... Yes, so it depends where a person is writing down. So it depends. Letters that people send each other is write G-D. But in books which are substantial, you're not going to throw them away. So anything which is computerized, no problem. Why? Because it's not really written, computer, unless you print it out. It's not written. Until you print it out. Okay, so the positive commandments allow us to climb the ladder to Hashem. And the negative commandments stop us from falling. The positives are we're climbing. It's like chutes and ladders. Judaism is chutes and ladders. The positive are the ladders. The negatives, breaking the negatives, is like falling down the chute. So the Torah says here, I'm providing you with a ladder, I'm providing you with barriers not to fall off the ladder. The barriers are the 365 negative commandments. The ladder, the rungs of the ladder, 248 positive commandments.
I don't understand it.
So you're climbing up the ladder by doing good. And you're not falling down by not doing bad.
So the negative stops you from falling down.
Exactly. The negatives are stopping you, a person, from falling down. The positives are enabling us to climb up.
How do you know
what you're saying? How do you know what? You have to learn. What's positive, what's negative. There's a list.
Google it. If you Google it, you can print it out.
Yeah, you Google anything today. Rabbi Google, you can print anything. Yeah, okay.
Just write 630.
Yeah, 630 mitzvot.
630, you know, commandments, and then there's a, you click it on, and you just print it out from the computer.
There you are, 630 commandments.
Pages and pages. It's there. I've done it.
Better still, look under 630 Commandments Rambam, and then you get it from the Rambam straight. That's the best way.
Even better.
Even better. So you know who you're getting it from.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't know who it's coming from.
That's true. I'll get it from
Levy. So anyway, but 630 commandments.
That's
better than that. Before you even look at the 630 commandments, it's better to get the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim has got a small book called Sefer Mitzvot Katzar, where he lists the 170 mitzvot which apply to us today. So why focus on all the 613 which mostly don't apply to us? Get the small book of the Chafetz Chaim, which explains the ones that apply to us. Maybe that should be a good thing to do, maybe next series.
You're going to do that.
Maybe. Remind me at the end of the book. I don't know if I remember. Okay. So our mission is to get close to Hashem. The way we get close to Hashem is by doing positive actions, by doing positive mitzvot. And the way to stop falling away from Hashem is by not doing the negatives, not breaking the negatives. So the negatives insulate us from the deeds that break the rungs of the ladder. So for example, there's a mitzvah on Pesach to eat matzah. That's the positive. You're climbing the ladder by eating the matzah. Remember the slavery. Remember Hashem took us out of slavery. And by not eating hametz, we're not falling down the ladder. So there's a positive and a negative. And the positive is to make us climb, and the negative stops us from falling. So negatives are the fences. If you go to any highway, boy, especially around a cliff, there are big fences over there, barriers over there, so a person doesn't fall off the cliff. Those are the negative commandments. Negative commandments are the barriers that stop a person falling off. The early Hasidic masters would say that when a person does a mitzvah, you're building a brick in the Beit HaMikdash. Spiritual brick in the Beit HaMikdash. And when a person does a negative, breaks a negative commandment, they're smashing the brick. In a sense, we're doing something positive or you're doing something negative. Every one of these 630 mitzvot has their own spiritual power. Every deed has something we can't see. I wish we could see what we're doing. So the rabbis tell us every deed produces a malach. Every deed a person does produces an angel. And these angels either are our prosecutors, or these angels either are our defenders. When we get to Olam Haba, plus we'll see lines and lines of angels, malachim. So who are these guys? These are the guys you produced. Oh boy. Are they good or bad? Yeah, both. There's good angels protecting you and there's bad angels over there. So these are the angels of a person's deeds. Amazing. We produce angels. What are angels? Angels are spiritual beings on a higher level. Different dimension. There are four dimensions we believe in. There are four different worlds. This is the lowest, and the next world up is the world of the angels. And the Rambam has a whole section where he talks about different levels of prophecy. The lowest level of prophecy is called Ishim. Ishim is where a person is in communication with angels. It's the lowest level of prophecy. So the angel is very close to a human being. It's the next level up. So Avraham Avinu, we're going to see next week's parasha, Vayera, the angels appear, three angels appear to him. It's the next level up. So a person who sanctifies themselves a little bit more will be able to eventually communicate with angels. That's communication. Communication with angels is communication through parables. That's an angel. Angel is works in the form of parables. Angel gives parables. That's lower level prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was even higher than that. He was one level higher than that. Okay. So everything we do has a kind of spiritual energy attached to it. Person does good, it's good spiritual energy. Person does bad spiritual energy. And by doing teshuva, we can either destroy all the bad spiritual energy we created. We said a person does teshuva me'ava from love, can take that bad and make it into good spiritual energy. That's why Baal Teshuva is so great. He took all the bad deeds he ever did and made them into good angels. Boy, these are good, strong angels. Good, strong angels. So every one of these 630 mitzvot has its own unique spiritual power. That's why the power of a mitzvah says, Tzedakah tatzil memavit. The power of tzedakah is it can save a person from death. That's the power of the mitzvah. It's amazing. Every mitzvah has a power. Tzedakah is a tremendous power. Why? Because you keep someone else alive. Hashem says, you give him life, I'll give you life. Very simple. Midah keneged midah. So every mitzvah has its own unique power. If we could harness that power, a person could really harness the power of the mitzvah. How does a person harness the power of the mitzvah? It's by thinking, I'm doing this mitzvah to create this spiritual energy, tremendous spiritual energy in the world above. Rav Chaim Volozhin talks about it in his book, Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. He says, when we do a mitzvah, we're actually fixing things in the world above. That's our mission. Is we, the puny man, can fix, do tikkunim, going up, all the way up to the source of our souls. So our souls come from high up, we can do mitzvah, we're actually fixing things in the world above. So later on we can either destroy things in the world above, we can fix things in the world above, depending on what we're doing. But it depends on how we do it. Here we are. This is the next section over here, page 19, middle of the page. Every one of these 630 mitzvot has own unique spiritual power. Every deed, there are varying degrees of perfection, depending on the degree of sincerity, knowledge, and dedication. This is the hardest part of doing a mitzvah. It's to do the mitzvah with sincerity, to do the mitzvah with love, do the mitzvah with enthusiasm. And the Ramchal, we tell in the Path of the Just, he says, the value of a mitzvah done with joy is worth 1,000 times more than the value of a mitzvah done without joy. 1,000 times more. So it's not just the mitzvah, it's also how a person approaches the mitzvah. It's how a person built the sukkah. It's how a person shook the lulav. It's how a person prayed to Hashem. The person do it with love, the person do it, oh, I gotta get through this. Let me get through this minyan. Let me get through this Yom Kippur. The person says, I love Yom Kippur, I love this. Being close to Hashem for 24 hours, 25 hours, with no food, no drink, just focus on Hashem. So a person does it with love, Hashem loves that. That's a beautiful story. One of my favorite stories is the story of a Marano who ran away from Spain and did teshuva and came back to Israel. And he's ignorant, didn't know anything. So once he went to the rabbi's shir, and the rabbi was talking about it before Shavuot. He was talking about the Shti Alechem. There's a mitzvah in Shavuot to bring two loaves of bread in the temple. I mean, two loaves of bread. Most loaves of bread in the temple were made of matzah. But here it was made of chametz, these two loaves of bread, because it was the beginning of the wheat season, so they brought these loaves of bread for wheat, so Hashem would bless their food sustenance on the rest of the year. So the Marano heard this mitzvah of two loaves of bread. He goes home, he tells his wife, quickly, bake two loaves of bread. I'm going to bring a korban. She baked two loaves of bread. So every Friday he would put two loaves of bread in the Aron HaKodesh, in the shul, inside the ark. He'd put two loaves of bread. So one day he's putting the two loaves of bread in the Aron HaKodesh. And who's there? The rabbi's there. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, you told us that, there's a mitzvah to be a korban of two loaves of bread. He said, you fool. He said, that's only on Shavuot in the Beit HaMikdash. It's not Beit HaMikdash. It's not Shavuot. What are you doing? You're an idiot. The guy said, oh, gosh. But every week I put it here, and Hashem takes it. He said, Hashem doesn't take it. Let's see who takes it. Let's sit down and see. A few minutes later, the Shamash comes in, goes to Aron HaKodesh, and takes a loaf of bread, walks out. Takes it home. Says, you see? You don't know what you're doing. I'm Aretz. You've got to pay more attention when I talk. So, a few minutes later, the Arizal has a message from Hashem. This rabbi is dying. He's going to die. He sends a message to the rabbi. He says, prepare for your death. Hashem never had so much pleasure since the time of the Beit HaMikdash from this person and from this person's gift. So what do we see from that story? It's just a beautiful story. It's a great story. I don't know what happened to the rabbi. Hopefully, nothing happened to him. He did teshuva, hopefully. But it just shows that a person's good wishes, goodwill is more important to Hashem than anything else. A person's heart. Hashem wants a person's heart. A person wants Hashem's good intention. Hashem loves a person with good intentions, pure intentions. And that was the forefathers. Why the forefathers and mothers reached such levels more than we could reach? How could they reach such high levels? And the answer is they had no ulterior motives when they did something. Purely for the sake of Hashem. Purely lishma. I was going to try and find a way to do a mitzvah with real gusto. And you know, women can do it very easily. When you prepare for Shabbat, it's such a powerful mitzvah. It's such a powerful mitzvah. A person should say, I'm doing it lechvot Shabbat Kodesh. When a person eats on Shabbat, they should say, I'm doing it l'shem kedushat Shabbat, l'shem mitzvah Shabbat, l'shem Shabbat Kodesh, for the sake of Shabbat Kodesh. And that adds purity to the food, adds purity to the person, adds holiness to the person. My wife was talking yesterday, she said, you know, she was. I said in my speech, I said that Rav Adyo's parents were very simple people. She said they couldn't have been simple people if they had a son like them. So, what seems to be simple people, they must have very pure motives. Yes.
I thought that the more difficult one is for was there is reward for that. If one's
yes.
intention is pure, but you know it's difficult, and you can have that joy. I mean, doesn't Hashem recognize that you're doing it because
100%, she recognizes. Kum sara agra, we said, the more trouble, the more reward. The more trouble, the harder it is, the bit more reward.
Even though the person doesn't have joy.
Yes, but if you can have joy as well, oh, you hit the jackpot. That's what I'm saying. The joy is the extra credit. Extra credit.
What if you want to give tzedakah, you know, checks to all the yeshivas?
Halavai, halavai. Ezra Hashem. So that thought, Hashem counts as a good deed. The person gets credit just for having that thought. I wish I could. Hashem says, you got it. You got it. Just did it. Every time, can you imagine how powerful the mind is? This is, I wish I could have done that mitzvah. You got it. Hashem says, check in your account. You got it. The credit's in your account. Yeah, except for idolatry and immorality, according to some people. Idolatry, a person shouldn't even think. That's exceptions. There are exceptions to every rule. Okay. So, every one of 630 mitzvot has its own unique power. But within every deed, there are varying degrees of perfection, depending on a person's sincerity, knowledge, dedication. Therefore, 10 people can perform the same commandment with 10 different outcomes. This one's doing it because of this reason, this one's doing it with this joy, this one's doing it with this joy. Moshe Rabbeinu wore tefillin, and an unlearned laborer wears tefillin as well, but looks at the clock. I've got to run to work. So you can see it's not the same level of mitzvah. So you can perform the same identical act with someone else. Hey, I prayed, he prayed. What's the difference? Yeah, it's a beautiful story. It's one of the great stories. It says, the chassid came to the Rebbe. The chassid is thinking, you know. Says, Rebbe says, Tommy says, what's the difference between me and you? Why are you the Rebbe? Why am I the chassid? You eat an apple, I eat an apple. What's the difference? You make a bracha, I make a bracha. So what's the difference between us? He said, he says, when you eat it, make a bracha on an apple, you're making a bracha to eat the apple. I eat the apple to make a bracha. In other words, what is our main motivation? Is the motivation is to eat, or the motivation is to make the bracha? Wow, that's a big, powerful idea. That's a very big difference between people. So, is the person doing the mitzvah to make Kiddush Hashem, or is the person doing the mitzvah because he feels like doing it? There's a big difference in the power of that mitzvah. So Bezrat Hashem would have higher level thoughts, but the main thing is to do the act. The first drasha when I was in Gateshead as a young kid was from Rav Matthew Solomon. He was also a new mashgiach. He's now in Lakewood, he's very famous. But he was the mashgiach of Gateshead when I first went to Gateshead. He was number one, he was new and I was new. We both knew there. So the first drasha he ever gave was a drasha that blew my mind because I wasn't expecting it from a mashgiach in a yeshiva. And that is, he says, don't look to do high-quality mitzvot, just do the mitzvah. Look for reasons, lo lishma, to do the mitzvah, because the main thing is to do the deed. So a person shouldn't say, I can't do it at the highest level, so I'm not going to do it. No, he says, just do it anyway. The main thing is you did the deed, because you can always add that thought later on even. A person can add the thought later on. Once the deed is done, they can always add good thoughts later on and say, I wish I did it with a high-level kavana. Hashem says, you got it. As long as you did it, you got it. You can always change your thoughts. Exactly.
Bonus points.
A person had children, brought children to the world, but they didn't have the best kavanah. They should think later on. I sanctified that child. I wish I made him better. People always sanctify. A person's mind is very powerful. So we could always improve the quality of mitzvot.
Because the Yetzer Hara can always tell us, oh, I wasn't pure in my thought. You know, if it's not going to be the best, then I might as well not do it at all.
That's a very big Yetzer Hara. And that hurt a lot of people. People don't like being hypocritical. If I can't do it with a pure motive, I don't want to do it at all. Wrong. Do it anyway. Mitoch shelo lishma, ba lishma. Through the wrong motives, the person will come to the right motives. But a person doesn't start, they've got to start the process somewhere. The person's got to start the process. And we all have to start the process. So we all have to climb this ladder. By doing mitzvah, we're climbing the ladder. The person's got to perform, we've got to try and perform 630 mitzvah, which we said is impossible today. And there are commandments involving this temple service that cannot be performed because we have no Beit HaMikdash. The agricultural laws that only apply in Israel. And there are commandments that can only be performed by Kohanim, by priests, or by people who have money. You have to give loans and give charity. So we can't do some mitzvot. Some commandments can only be done by people who are repentant, such as the commandment to return a lost, stolen object. If I didn't steal it, I can't return it. There's a mitzvah to get divorced. There's a mitzvah, I've got to go get divorced. Some mitzvot we don't do. There's a mitzvah pidyon haben, but you have to have a firstborn son. And you can't be a Levi, you can't be a Kohen, and your wife can't be a Kohen or Levi. So there's some mitzvot which are in the books that we cannot do. So Rabbi said, you know what we can do? We can study them. When you study them, it's like, if you say, I study this, I want to do it. it's like we did it as well. So it's important to study and think. And when a person studies it, it's as if they did it already. So if you want to study the mitzvot, Sefer HaChinuch, the book of education. Every house should have this Sefer, the book of education, which goes through the 630 mitzvot. Author unknown, he wrote it anonymously. It was a very big merit to be considered to write a book anonymously, because this way he couldn't get any credit. But also, if anyone wanted to attack him, no one knew who the author was. Sefer HaChinuch, book of education. And it's fantastic. Every parasha goes through the mitzvah and the parasha, which is very easy in Bereishit because there's very few mitzvot. So, but when you get to Shemot, Vayikra, it's a lot of mitzvot in the parasha. Devarim especially. So he explains, he quotes the mitzvah, he explains it, usually according to the Rambam. He follows the Rambam, usually. And then you have the Book of the Commandments, which is written by the Rambam. We have the Book of the Commandments, also in English. So just by studying these mitzvot, the person gets credit. If they say, I wish I could have done this, they get credit. Similarly, the greater quality of prayer with a minyan. The Kuzari, Rav Yehuda Halevi. Rav Yehuda Halevi is famous. His famous Sephardi rabbi. He says, a very famous quote, Lebi b'mizrach v'ani b'sof ha'ma'arav. He says, my heart is in the east and I'm in the west. Which means my heart is in Israel and I'm in Spain. So if he said that, how much more so Kal v'chomer, we're in America, so we're even further away. Yeah, Lebi b'mizrach. But let's forget Ashweki. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi came first. Yes, exactly. And that's what we should do as Jews. First thing is, what's going on in Israel? My eyes, my heart's in Israel. Jerusalem Post, what happens? Israel, national news, whatever it is. Well, we want a new news in Israel because my heart is in Israel. So the best thing to do is send your kids there. So your heart is definitely there, Israel. Oh, yeah. So educate them. Educate them. Kids in Israel. Hands in Israel. Your grandchildren in Israel, even better. Your heart's in Israel. That's the best thing we can do. If we can't be there, at least our children can be there. Grandchildren can be there. That's the best thing. To explain the greater quality of prayer, so the Kuzari Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes, few people can concentrate with the proper intent on the entire Shemoneh Esrei. Very few people can concentrate. It's very hard to concentrate. Focus. But when there's a minyan, then each one's devotion is credited to the group as a whole. So you can imagine. So one person in the minyan is focusing on this paragraph. The other person in the group is going over this paragraph. You put them all together. Yes, they did pray perfectly well. And this would apply to the nation as a whole. That's why it's very important to link into this energy called Klal Yisrael. A person should link into the energy called Klal Yisrael. You know, the Arizal says, before a person prays, they should say, I accept upon myself the mitzvah of Ve'avta L'Recha Kamocha. This way their prayers are linked to all the Jewish prayers around the world, because they love each fellow Jew, and this way they're linked, their prayers are linked. Sometimes a person says, I love every fellow Jew except for this one, except for this one.
Right.
It doesn't work then, unfortunately. You can't exclude anyone. You have to love every fellow Jew. So a person's going to try and get over there. You know, even if the other guy doesn't love him anyway. That's very hard. Okay, so we'll do that. So we'll try and do that.
Where do women come in on this? Since we're not part of the minyan?
Yes, you are. If you're with a minyan, you're in a minyan. What do you mean? If there's 10 men over there, you're with a minyan.
Okay.
That's why it's better to have a, that's why I say it's better not to pray with a women's tefillah group. It's better to go with a minyan. You pray in the shul, you get the credit praying by the minyan. You pray with a woman's specific group, there's no minyan there. So it's very important. The Shekhinah's presence is there when you have a minyan over there. So when you pray in shul, you're praying with a minyan. But even a woman, if she says, I love every fellow Jew, she's plugged into Klal Yisrael. A person can plug themselves into Klal Yisrael. A person's got to remember, I'm part of a klal. I'm not an individual. I'm part of Klal Yisrael. We're part of one group. As we see, the funeral, amazing funeral. 850,000 people who are there. And then all the people tried to get there but couldn't get there because of the traffic. You couldn't get in. You couldn't get into Yerushalayim. You couldn't get in. You had to park miles away, and I don't know how they cleared up the mess. Because people parked on the highway and walked. And had the National Guard out there and everyone out. So that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael came out in force. You see Klal Yisrael? That's Klal Yisrael. Whole Klal Yisrael. Whole spectrum of Klal Yisrael came. That's Klal Yisrael. And that's being part of Klal Yisrael means you worry about Klal Yisrael. A person worries about Klal Yisrael. Think about the continuity of Klal Yisrael. We're not worried about ourselves. We're worried about Klal Yisrael in general. And that's a big thing. That's a very big mitzvah. It's a very big thing to feel part of the Klal. This way a person gets reward. So if I can't do this mitzvah and the other guy's doing it, I'm part of the Klal Yisrael, so I get credit as well. All part of Klal Yisrael.
But that works the other way also.
Yes, unfortunately. Let's talk about the positive. Let's try and be positive. So by plugging into Klal Yisrael, a person gets reward of Klal Yisrael. The merits of Klal Yisrael. Okay. So the Jewish nation is united in its service of God. Every individual can do what he can, what he must. They are no longer individual Jews, they are Klal Yisrael. The sum is greater than the total of its parts. The Torah says in the Brachot, it says, 10 of you can run after 100. 100 of you will run after 10,000. Think of the proportions, it doesn't work. It's not proportionate. 10 of you runs after 100 of enemy, right? So it's 10 against 10. 1 to 10, right? It's 1 to 10 ratio. 100 of you against 10,000, it's a 1 to 1,000 ratio. So you see, the more Jews they are concentrated, the bigger the power. They can take on more enemies. That's the power of unity. So when we're Klal Yisrael, we have to unify ourselves, Klal Yisrael. You can't compare one Jew doing a mitzvah to 10 Jews doing a mitzvah. You can't compare 10 Jews doing a mitzvah to 100 Jews doing a mitzvah. So all Israel has a share in the world to come. Kol Yisrael Yishleim Chelek Le'olam Ba. Every single Jew has a portion of the world to come. It's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. So commentators say all Israel. That applies only if we serve as part of Klal Yisrael. It doesn't say every single Jew. It says all Israel. Kol Yisrael. It doesn't talk about the individuals. It talks about the general. All Israel has a portion of the world to come. Means if we serve Hashem as a nation, the entire nation is elevated. And Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch explains, the term Israel refers to any individual who has not utterly divorced himself from Israel's lofty spiritual and ethical destiny. His portion of the world to come will vary according to his merit. But as long as he remains part of Israel, he'll never lose it entirely. A person who's plugging into Israel cannot lose their merits entirely. He's still part of Klal Yisrael. Yes? Yimachshemo Hitler, Yimachshemo, real Yimachshemo. He writes in Mein Kampf. We have to kill all the Jewish children. Every single one. Can't spare a single Jew. If you spare one single Jew, he'll bring everything back again. Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was one person. Avraham Avinu changed the world. One person could change the world. We don't realize the power of one. It's the power of one. No. Philosophy. Okay. It's very hard to teach. Very hard to teach. The Torah describes Adam. So Adam Rishon was created in the image of Hashem. Sentiment of Kibar Avtam. And what does that mean, the image of Hashem? Oh, what a big question. What is the image of Hashem? Obviously, Hashem has no image. So what is the sentiment of Kib? So Hashem has no physical organs. No physical characteristics. So what is man's divine image? So the Maharal, Prague, Maharal. A big master of philosophy and Kabbalah. The Maharal spoke in philosophic terms, but really he's a real big mikubal, very big mikubal. The Maharal says, just as Hashem is a complete master of the spiritual world, has no parallel among even the loftiest angels and other spiritual beings, so too human beings have uncontested superiority on earth. In other words, nothing in this world can be compared to human beings. We're parallel to Hashem in His spiritual domains. We are parallel to that in the physical domain. We are supreme in this physical domain. Only a person stands erect among all the beasts, because in the earthly realm we are the masters. And just as the king, God is the king of everything, we are the kings of this world. That's the image of Hashem. Maharal cites another aspect of man's similarity to God. We're on page 23. Godliness has a spiritual glow. Hashem is totally spiritual. The rabbis describe the beauty of the world to come, as the righteous will sit and derive pleasure from Ziva Shekhinah, the glow of the divine presence. If a person also keeps the Torah, they also have a spiritual glow. You have to try and get the spiritual glow. See, some people have a spiritual glow. They have an aura around them of holiness.
How can you tell?
You could tell. If a person is a spiritual person, a holy person, by seeing their face, you'll be able to tell. It's a different perspective. There's no lines of worry on the face. It's a face of joy and trust in God. That's what it is. That's what a person is trying to emulate. Not to worry. People who have no worries, that's a sign of spirituality. But a person has a joy in his face, that's a sign of spirituality. A person looking unhappy, that's not a sign of spirituality. A person has trust in God, doesn't worry about anything. So obviously we have to worry about what we can do, and then everything's in God's hands. So, godliness has a spiritual glow. A person attains the goal Hashem sent for him, they too can have a spiritual glow. Even ordinary Jews find themselves transfixed by the presence of holy Jews. Says Rav Avadia Yosef was once in YU. So, you know, he's walking down Amsterdam Avenue. And it says non-Jews pass by and they bow down to him. And how that happened. So they bow down to him. So, it's people can sense. It says in Baghdad, when the Arabs saw the Ben Ish Chai, they would come and kiss his hand. The Arabs would kiss his hand. And people respect spiritual beings. They do respect spiritual beings. Till today, they do respect spiritual beings. So a person becomes holy, Moshe Rabbeinu, his face started, Torah says, Karan or Panav. Michelangelo translated the Karan as horns. He drew horns. But Karan means it was shining radiation. His face was radiating. In fact, the Jews couldn't take it. He had to cover his face with a cloth. Imagine you see someone with his face clouded. Moshe Rabbeinu. Who's that walking around? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is he covering his face? Well, if he uncovered his face, everyone would run away from him. Scary. Had a heavenly glow. Well, that's one of the signs, the testimony that the soul transcends the flesh. And the transformation is visible on a person's face. So that's a symbol of a person's Selem Elokim. So our job is to grow. Our job is to grow. How do we grow? We have the vehicle to grow. Is the ladders, the rungs of the ladder are the mitzvot. Every mitzvah is another rung of the ladder. Rav Hutna cites a midrash. He says, "Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'hineh tov meod." At the end of creation, Hashem saw whatever He did. It was very good. Tov meod. Normally, it says "Vayar Hashem ki tov." At the end of creation, it says "Ki tov meod." It was very good. So the question is now, why is it very, very good? Why is it very over here? The end of the creation is very good. The Midrash says, because only at the end of creation did God create man. Man was very good. Creation was good. But man was very good. And it's interesting, the word me'od and the word Adam, Rav Hutna says, is the same letters. Adam, Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Me'od, Mem, Aleph, Dalet. Amazing. The word very has no specific definition. What is a very? A very, you can't measure a very. Depends on what you're using. What is it called in a prenoun? It's a prenoun? It's an adjective. Okay, it's an adjective. Very. Very, very what? It's a very good. It's very bad. It's, but very by itself is no.
It's an adjective.
Adverb. Adverb? Or prenoun. Okay, can be prenoun. Okay. So very doesn't have any meaning by itself. It says man himself has no meaning as well. Depends what he does. A person has no meaning by themselves. It's what they're doing that brings the meaning. So man is like very. Adam is like meod. It's only what a person does that gives the person meaning. So man is just a preamble. Like you said, a kid is born. Parv. A kid is born innocent. Is he good or bad? Nothing. Neither here nor there. He's not good nor bad. Didn't do anything yet. So man by itself, Adam, is like Me'od. Very, what is he? So at the end of his life, they'll know. He was very good, or he was very bad. So he's just, that's what Adam is. That's the beautiful Rav Hutna. Amazing. But he says a person's capacity has no limit. That's the case. We're not defined, we're undefined. A human being is undefined. A person's capacity is amazing. But we have to have the choice. Rav Yosef, he says, at early age made a choice. He wants to be a gadol. He wants to be a gadol. He wants to take the Keter Torah. He wants to take that crown of Torah. And that's what he did all his life. He was studying, learning to be that gadol. In his eulogy of Rav Chaim Elazar Wax, author of Nefesh Chaya, Avnei Nezer, quotes the Talmud in the narrative. The Gemara says in Brachot, Rabbi Elazar wept when he looked at Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was one of the most handsome rabbis we ever had. It says when it says he would sit outside the mikveh, so that when the woman came out of the mikveh, the first thing she would see was him. It was that she would have pure thoughts, and she would think about having beautiful children like him. So it also says when he uncovered his sleeve, when there was no light, the whole room was filled with light. Obviously, these things are not to be understood literally. So it says, Rav Elazar, when he looked at him, started crying. So Rav Yochanan said, why are you crying? He says, woe that such beauty will one day go in the dust. So he says, this is not talking about the physical beauty, it's about the spiritual beauty. The spiritual beauty should rot. Rav Yochanan had this spiritual beauty, had this aura around him. And beauty is not inborn. It's achieved only with years and years of effort. And the Gemara says, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba. One generation goes, one generation comes. When a person, the great man, dies, his potential is invested in someone else. Someone else is born who is going to take over. We said, like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai died, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was born that same day. So anyway, so that's a very important idea, that we have this tremendous ability, potential. We are me'od. We are like the word me'od, very. It's what we do with it that counts. Okay, Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen ve'Amen. Thank you for coming out. Thank you to our sponsor. This year was in memory of Shmuel Ben-Hur.